I feel that my work was betrayed.
Who have all the fury which Didier Drogba is directing at the referee now.
There obviously seem to be a palpable discord between manager and players. Palpable discord.
Hello and welcome back to Palpable Discord, the Chelsea podcast. I'm your host, Jack Rathbone. I'm joined as always by Will DeBay and Grant James. We're speaking to you moments after a massive win for Chelsea, 1-0 at Tottenham. Jorginho with the penalty. I think it's fair to say the first three games of the Thomas Tuchel era have started pretty well. Two wins, one draw, three clean sheets. Let's kick it straight off, Will. Your immediate thoughts on what quite possibly is a massive win for Chelsea and propels them right back into the top four race.
Yeah, no, it was great. I think I messaged you guys. I haven't felt like physically sick watching a game for a long time. And while it was probably a really poor game for the neutral, it's just one of those games that as a fan, you just sort of get lost in and you sort of, you know, every kind of tiny little idiosyncrasy of the game feels 10 times bigger. It was one of those sorts of games. It was just all that mattered tonight was winning, especially with the games we've got that lie ahead. And yeah, no, it was just a massive win. A game that we always kind of looked in control of. I think for large spells, we played really well, and it was a kind of continuation of the good sort of work that you can see that Tuchel's done on the training ground already. There's almost like a clear identity and shape, you know, right from the off. But it was just, you know, Spurs had, you know, a couple of good chances really, and despite, you know, I think setting up horrifically, you know, just so I couldn't quite believe what I was seeing in how Mourinho had set the team up. It was almost sort of designed for us to sort of get the better of them. You know, they sort of went with like a four block two, so like a 4-2-2-2, trying to sort of man mark Jorginho and Kovacic, and then having Son and Vinicius kind of shuttle across to close down the back three. But all it meant was we had a 5v4, so we could play out with such ease. And I think part of that was Kovacic's good work to sort of bypass players 1v1. And, you know, we were able to move it into the final third really easily. I think our play in the final third was actually really poor, if you reflect. And I think in large part, you know, it doesn't help when you have a player performing as badly as Werner is at the moment. Just such a kind of no sort of confidence in playing in the ball. And when it does get played to him, it either, you know, he either gives it away, turns it over, or slows it down because he can't get the ball out of his feet and receive the ball properly with his first touch. But, you know, I think there's been real positive signs. I think we'll talk more generally about Tuchel and the impact he's made in the first three games. There's real positive signs in terms of the system and kind of moving the ball from one box to the other. I think we just need to improve on our sort of final piece of the jigsaw, you know, our play in the final third, creating chances, taking chances. But no, really positive, and you know, it's something really to build on now. Like I said, season defining win, I think. The only worry was Thiago Silva, who before he went off was like absolutely imperious again. And you know, it remains to be seen what sort of impact that will have on our season.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's plenty of promise there. There's lots more to improve upon, especially just the nature of the squad. There's a lot of young players there, certainly some young players that are only just getting their first real stretch of starts. I mean, you look at Callum Hudson-Odoi, the potential is really exciting there. Grant, I wanted to get your thoughts on the shape, really. I thought it worked really well again. I thought there's a nice balance between Kovacic and Jorginho. I think the system allows Kovacic to sort of play on the half turn, and he's excellent box to box. When he arrives at that opposition box, he's not so good as was displayed with that 3-on-2 in the second half, where he sort of prodded it harmlessly wide with Mason Mount in a great position to lay off for a second goal. But yeah, how did you see the shape tonight, and just the way that Tuchel has set this team up. I think it's certainly shown vast improvement since Lampard's departure.
Yeah, I mean, I think I started off with blaming Will for Thiago Silva's injury, because he was saying in our WhatsApp chat that I think playing in the middle of a back three, you'll be able to play till he's about 42 at the top level. And I was just repeating those comments while I was watching the game, and then I'd, you know, obviously the camera pants him being injured. So I think I've got to blame Will for that one. But the shape it definitely suits those two deeper midfielders, because firstly they have three players behind them, so they have a lot less to worry about on their backs. We're also defending a bit higher up than we did when we played this shape under Lampard. So the space is really compressed behind them as well. And then also with playing with genuine 10 or with two 10s, as we did in the first 1.5 games, they sort of have the responsibility to actually go press the opposition's deeper midfielders. So Jorginho and Kovacic don't have to try and do what they did a lot under Lampard and sort of like go pressing 20 or 30 yards in front of their defense, trying to get out to deeper lying midfielders for the opposition. Obviously, Jorginho, especially not being that athletic, it's hard for him to go and do that, get there in time and then get back. So the shape suits them very well. They're both protected perfectly. They both had very good games, I thought. Kovacic, you know, with the way Spurs were setting up, as Will mentioned, playing like a 4-box-2, trying to have a man-marking or at least a matching-up situation in the midfield, it suits Kovacic so well. I mean, if you have a man stationed on him, it's going to suit him to receive and bypass that player. And in the second half, with a bit more space to drive into, he can just weave through gaps. And I thought he played really well. But also, I thought he was sort of getting to the stage where I thought his race may have been run, and he actually came off at the right time, even if Kante didn't necessarily solidify things the way I thought he would. But the shape suits a lot of players well, because it almost feels like we have maybe three or four actual specialists in the shape. I mean, Rudiger is looking more and more like a back three defender only, and he looks much less comfortable in a back four. Alonso, obviously, we know is a better wing back than a fullback. Azpilicueta arguably is a lot better in this position as a right centre back than as a fullback. So I think those players are really specialists in this shape. So we kind of fall back on some of that automatic that we have from Conte. And Mourinho loves mentioning it in all his pre-match interviews and stuff, that we, you know, the manager's kind of falling back on Conte's work, which shows just how good that work was. And I think generally until the second half of this game, we've controlled games by just keeping the ball, and opposition have been able to create nothing really defensively. I mean, going forward, sorry, we haven't even been challenged defensively. It's even been hard to kind of see what our defensive organization is, because we've just barely had any of it to do. We've almost practically only been playing the possession phase of the game. There's been so few transitions even, because we just haven't given the ball away. And the second half today, I think Spurs had pushing towards 60% of the ball, which doesn't really suit them, because they didn't necessarily have the ideas to break us down. And I think we had a relatively good defensive shape, other than the one Vinicius chance that Spurs mustered towards the end.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it certainly does suit a couple of the squad players, if you will, the sort of fringe starters under Lampard. They've come in and it really does complement their skill set. The only thing I would say, which is not necessarily a worry, because this is a very promising start for Tuchel, but it does limit the number of positions that he can bring the best out of his top-heavy squad. Obviously, Mason Mount is now almost untouchable. Looks like Callum Hudson-Odoi will always occupy one role in the side, and I think he'll probably need to shift back to Reece James's role tonight in most games that Tuchel will want to dominate the ball. And then you've only really got two more spots, and obviously without Kai Havertz tonight, but you've got Ziyech, you've got Pulisic, and perhaps even Kante can push for a start in one of the two when he's fully sharp and back to full fitness. But Will, do you sense some similar problems to the ones that Lampard experienced towards the end, where he can't quite satisfy everybody? Or do you think there's enough there now with the FA Cup coming up, the two legs obviously in the last 16 against Atletico? Do you think he can shuffle this around nicely and keep everybody motivated and get them firing again towards the end of the season?
Yeah, I do. I think the use of Callum as a wing back. I think Callum is going to continue to play there, especially in home games. And I think as we grow in confidence and sides, you know, start to kind of fear us a bit more, I think you're going to see more teams come to the Bridge and camp in. And I think we, you know, it's clear under Tuchel that there's emphasis on keeping the ball. And I think what stood out to me is you know, and Tuchel's kind of mentioned it a lot about winning the ball back quickly, recoveries high up the pitch. And like Grant said, there's emphasis on squeezing the play, compressing the pitch. And we are winning the ball back quickly and we are having a lot of possession. I know the three teams we've played are teams that generally, you know, look to sit in. Although I thought Burnley, to be fair, were pretty aggressive for spells, tried to press us a little bit. But I think in the home games, I think there's still going to be a lot of scope to play Callum as a wing back. I mean, he's not in the first two games, he wasn't really playing as a wing back. You know, he was so high up. At times he was our highest, you know, he was the highest up player on for our team. I think if you look at the average position map, you know, he was the highest up on the, you know, highest and widest player. So I think there's the scope for him to play there, which obviously opens up more spots for some of the attacking players to sort of share and rotate in that free. I think there's not really a lot of players that he will trust there in those front three spots, apart from Mason Mount, who was the best player tonight again. You know, I mean, I just think he's one of those players. He obviously left out in the first game, which I think was bizarre. You know, and had he played, maybe we would have got the 3 points there. He's just impossible to leave out. I think any manager is going to pick him. Southgate picked him every game. Frank picks him every game. And I think Tuchel's going to be the same. It's impossible to leave him out. It's just every phase of the game, he's so effective and so important. Apart from him, I don't think there's anyone who's really kind of come to the fore. I think Callum will probably be picked most weeks, either inside or as a wing back. But I do think that Reece James, for me, is not really a wing back. You know, you can understand why he played tonight. It's against a big physical side, against a team that, you know, you do always have Son in the back of your mind. You want to play more of a defensive player that side. But I do think in the home games, Callum is a better solution as a wing back in inverted commas. So I think you're going to see a lot of rotation. Obviously, I think Emerson's probably not going to see any games, assuming Chilwell and Alonso don't pick up injuries. The back three suits what we have with a lot of defenders that maybe we don't trust. I think Zuma's probably going to be a bit of a loser in this system. So I think you'd say Zuma, obviously Emerson, but that's more to do with numbers. And possibly Giroud, because I think that there is a clear emphasis on pressing high, pressing with intensity to win the ball back quickly. Less kind of slinging crosses in from deeper positions. I think it's more of a case of we're trying to create overloads in wide positions and cut the ball back for some sharp movement in the box. So perhaps less of Giroud's sort of game, but you know, we've ruled out Giroud plenty of times and he's always come back and found games. So a useful player to have around, but I'd say those three players are probably going to be the three that miss out on minutes the most. Like Grant said, and I thought about Rüdiger, and I thought Rüdiger was really good tonight. You know, he's really good in that role. And he slotted straight back in, having not played a lot of games and performed well in the three games. So I think he can keep everyone happy. And I think there's going to be plenty of rotation in that front three, apart from Mason Mount.
Yeah, I mean, with the team selection tonight, with Hudson-Odoi playing in the front three, in this shape, it's only the second time he's done that since the beginning of last season. Obviously, Lampard played a back three 14 times, by my count at least, 13 times last season, once this season. And then obviously, Tuchel's played it twice in his first two matches. And Hudson-Odoi has been the wing back in the last two games and only started one of the 14 games in this shape under Lampard. So it was quite a new position for him, at least at this level. I know, well, you were mentioning him playing in this shape in the Youth Cup final a couple of years back and just looking amazing, scoring an amazing goal against Man City. But this was almost like the polar opposite of the Wolves game, because the Wolves game we had Giroud, Ziyech and Havertz in probably the most stationary front three we have you know, all players that come towards the ball and don't necessarily move out of their positions too much in the shape at least. And tonight it was Mount, obviously with the dynamism of Mount and Hudson-Odoi behind behind Werner. And it seems like Tuchel was expecting Mourinho to be quite sort of man-orientated in those deep positions. And if we'd had Ziyech or Havertz or whatever, obviously Havertz was injured, but they probably would have been marked out the game. They would have, every time they came to feet, they would have had Højbjerg and Sissoko right up behind them. And it looked like with the movements they were making, Martin Hudson-Odoi, that we had trained a lot on trying to sort of dismark in that area. So Hudson-Odoi would come short and then spin off in behind quite quickly. Obviously, they both moved out to the sides, running in behind on sort of line passes from the wingbacks. Mount was moving all over the place, just finding space anywhere and just creating, making such a big area for those two deeper players to actually cover. And I mean, Mourinho playing this box with Bergwijn playing as one of the two tens up there, just is really a strange selection. I mean, he's trying to turn sort of Bergwijn into his Willian, but Willian was one of the most like tactically intelligent, selfless players around, and he could do these sort of jobs, you know. But to play with Bergwijn there was very, 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 very strange. And I just think in that area we did an amazing job. I mean, Højbjerg had a really tough game trying to deal with Mount, just with how well he protects the ball, but also the areas he was picking up. And there's one really nice play from Hudson-Odoi in the first half where, with sort of back to goal, he played a first-time layoff into Mount running off his man. But obviously in this front three areas now, if Hudson-Odoi is considered an option there, let's say in half the games he's pushing for a position as a wing-back, I think that's eight players for the three spots. And it's just going to be really hard to keep everyone happy. I mean, Ziyech and Giroud have played no minutes in the last two matches and have just played 10 minutes in the last two matches, obviously being injured tonight. So in some ways, having one or two injuries isn't necessarily a bad thing for the selection headache, but keeping everyone fit in there is going to be difficult. And he does, seems with Pulisic as well, he doesn't really trust him, at least as a number 10 in the shape. So he's played him as one of the split strikers in the last couple of games and then as a right wing back in the Wolves game. So he seems to kind of prefer him more as a right-sided player as well than a left-sided player, despite most of us thinking he's better on the left. And I think at Dortmund, when he was coming through, he was playing more on the right-hand side. And that seems to be the role he sees him in more. He hasn't even started a game yet, so he's had three sub-appearances. Maybe he'll play the Sheffield United game from the start. So we have a lot of options in attack. And then we're playing with a lot more players behind the ball now, which is, of course, good to stop counter-attacks, to control the space a lot better. But yes, we have played three sides that pretty much are built on ceding possession against top six teams, at least in Burnley's case. So we are going to dominate the ball naturally in those games, regardless of who's in charge. And I think you'll see bigger tests coming up once we pass the Sheffield United and the Newcastle games, and we start getting into playing, you know, the Leeds and Liverpools and so forth that come up on the schedule fairly soon. Yeah, I think that's about what I want to say on Mount and Hudson-Odoi.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you mentioned Pulisic. I thought actually tonight there was a couple of glimpses of him almost back to that exhilarating Pulisic we saw about 6 months ago, where he was gliding past a few Spurs players and really sort of tearing them open once they started stepping up a little bit and pushing for that equaliser. So that actually is a pretty exciting prospect if he can start to balance out the side. I thought there was a nice graphic during the game on BT where for almost the entirety of the first half, Chelsea's attacks were 70% dominated down the right flank. And I thought that was telling. Obviously, the connection between Mount, Hudson-Odoi and James is uncanny, and it's only right that you make the most of that. But I think sooner or later, it would be nice to see a little bit more balance coming over on the left side. Obviously, Pulisic is mostly going to be playing from the right under Tuchel, but hopefully we can see a little bit more rotation there. Chilwell maybe getting a run as the left wing back. I think certainly he'll have his he'll be a little bit disappointed by the way things have started, but I think competition is good for him. He's still a young player, and I think despite his price tag, it's not right that he just expects to play automatically. He's obviously stepped up a level this season with the big move, so I'm not sort of down on Chilwell or worried about his future either. I think Will's right. I think it's you trim maybe three names from that squad automatically, and then you maybe cash in on one or two and bring in a couple more that suit Tuchel's eye a little bit more in the summer. But yeah, I think you're right, Grant. It's good to be a little bit cautious, certainly on just how the teams we've played like you said, have ceded possession. So that won't change against Sheffield United somewhat, and certainly not against Barnsley. And then there's Newcastle coming up. So you're going to see a little bit of a run of this controlling the possession. So I think it will be a nice opportunity to see if Tuchel can find a little bit more of a cutting edge. The elephant in the room is obviously Werner. I mean, how long will does he persist with him? Can Tammy work his way back in and perhaps find a bit more of a snappier first touch? I think you saw the main threat in behind tonight was almost Mason Mount pulling off on the second or third pass of one touch stuff, and then everything had to be perfect to release him into the space in behind. A runner from deep, obviously Kovacic was able to do so and to dribble himself. But yeah, that's just a little bit of a concern for me, is just how we get in behind teams at the moment, because obviously Werner is not quite there. I mean, the speed is there, but his first touch just isn't right, is it?
No, I mean, he looks shocking at the moment. I don't want to be too down. I do feel sorry for him, but he worked really hard in the second half when it did become a bit of a back to the walls, you know, last 5 minutes or whatever. And, you know, he ran himself right into the ground until he literally couldn't move towards the end. Showing the right attitude. I don't think he's hiding, but I don't know whether that's sort of a problem in itself, because everything just breaks down around him. And I think it's one of those where I like this shape with the three, obviously, that we went to in the second half of Wolves with Mount as the 10 linking things. And I like the split strikers having the runners in between the centre backs and the full backs, whether it be Pulisic, Callum or Werner. I mean, I think towards the end, he was getting in, because obviously the game became a bit more stretched. There was more space to exploit. But, you know, you can see how it's affecting the players a little bit. I think they're sort of looking for him. They're trying to get him in. Everyone's sort of trying to help him. It does remind me a lot of Torres, when Torres was really struggling. And, you know, you could see Callum's reaction when he got substituted. I get the sense that some of the players that are, you know, probably good pals in the academy are all sort of thinking, like, you know, Tammy's sitting on the bench watching, and Pulisic comes on as well, and Callum's the one who comes off. It's so obvious that he's being persisted with, because we've sort of spent money on him, and I think it's probably been a bit of a remit for Tuchel to come in and get the best from him. But it's just one of those. He's got to just play his way back into some kind of confidence, because there's no way he's as bad as he's playing at the moment. That, you know, his first. I mean, I've seen him play. We've all seen him play in Germany, and we can talk about getting used to, you know, having a little bit less time on the ball and getting used to the physical side of it. But he's literally not able to control the ball with no pressure on him at the moment. He's just, you know, he's got, like, I think they say in golf, like, he's got the yips. And there's no way he can be this bad. And I do think if we are playing with split strikers, he is the type of profile that you want in that system. But it's just at the moment, he's so poor that it's very difficult to argue for him to start. And I do think he's better off coming on into games where, you know, he was better today in the last 20 minutes when it opens up. So use him as a substitute in that period of the game. Don't start with him. I think Tammy as a split striker would be a lot more useful. You get extra height in the team. All of the players built from that right hand side. So, you know, you've got the option to cross things and hang things up at the far post for Tammy. It just gives you a lot more options, and, you know, the ball can stick with him a lot better. So for me, I'd take him out. And I think that's eventually what Frank had to do. And I think Tuchel's going to have to end up doing the same. Whether or not he plays, I think he'll probably be taken out for Sheffield United. And then if we've got Barnsley next, he comes back in, try and get him some goals. But I mean, he scored a few goals. It hasn't done anything for his confidence. I don't think it's, you know, getting the odd goal against a crappy team in the FA Cup is going to be what lifts his confidence. I think generally him building his confidence by playing better, doing things more, much more slick and just getting the ball out of his feet, just doing simple things, getting your head up quicker, being aware of what's around you quicker. That's what's going to be that gives him confidence. I think it's always a bit of a cliche to say, a striker needs the ball to just go in off his arse and that's going to solve all his problems. I don't think that's the case. I think he needs to, just start building it slowly, very, very slowly, and hopefully he'll get there. But I mean, he can't have any complaints because this system is kind of built for him, front two split strikers slightly to the left in a front two, it's made for him. So he's got no excuses now and he just has to get his head down and just keep going and try and turn it around for himself.
Yeah, it was quite interesting that obviously he won a penalty, probably about the fourth or fifth one he's won this season, but then he didn't take it. And obviously we know Jorginho missed two and then came off penalty duties. Werner went on to penalty duties and scored two and then missed one in the FA Cup and sort of he's off them again. So I don't know if that's something that it's been done by Tuchel or if it's just Werner's confidence is low and Jorginho is happy to, retake that responsibility. Or if it's just a seniority thing. Obviously, Jorginho is more of a pivotal player in the side at the moment, and clearly he's quite influential. So maybe, he's happy to take the responsibility. Anyway, it's just quite surprising when there's a penalty. You thought Werner would step up to take it. I think with Tammy, I'm slightly worried because in terms of like where he stands, because he didn't play well over the weekend in the first 45 minutes at all. He was getting into a lot of duels with Tarkowski and Ben Mee and losing a lot of them and obviously got taken off at half time. And in the split striker system, I think he would be quite suitable. And I think as far back as the Spurs Carabao Cup game earlier in the season, I was quite keen to see Werner and Tammy as split strikers because we know Werner prefers that sort of drifting out to the left and Tammy actually prefers drifting out to the right generally. He's really good at linking up there. We saw him do that quite well. The game the other day, I think it was the Wolves game. I'm not quite sure. One of the games he had a really nice little touch. I think it was actually the Luton game, wasn't he? On the right, a great little touch, and then we went up the other side and scored. He scored his hat trick getting into the box. So he actually quite fancies moving towards the right side. So they actually do balance each other out well. I just think because the split strikers can be played with Pulisic and Werner, or even you could possibly even go as far as Pulisic and Hudson-Odoi as split strikers, that there's so much competition now for the spots. So if Tuchel's trying to find very mobile front three with lots of freedom, it might not suit Abraham that well. It definitely doesn't suit Giroud's game, and we know that Giroud's probably going to be on his way in the summer. So Abraham might need to be patient for these chances to come back. Let's see if he starts over the weekend and then we go from there. But I mean, so far, I just want to talk very briefly on Tuchel's selection so far. I mean, he's obviously had three games. The first one was basically just a palate cleanser from Lampard. He picked every single player that didn't play the Luton game. He made 10 changes. Only Ziyech played both matches. It seemed like he was sort of like making sure everyone in the squad had played one of the last two games. No one can say they are not getting a chance or they're out of favour. And he did say himself in his own words, he played first and foremost not to lose that match. I hope it doesn't come back to bite us because there were 2 points sort of really, left out there in that match. And in the next game, I think Alonso was the only player who hadn't actually had a match in the previous two, and then he started. Obviously, he's taken his chance really well, but it did feel like he wanted to just re-involve him so there's no players sort of out of the picture. And then I thought tonight, Christensen was sort of drifting towards that. And then he obviously came on. Zuma's definitely in that boat. And I think those two are probably the biggest losers in the shape just because in a back three, I don't really see either of them as being comfortable on the sides. And Christensen's always played in the middle of a back three for us. He's never really played on the sides of one. And Zuma's played on the right under Conte and looked really uncomfortable. He was subbed at halftime against Man City in one game. He's played there in the FA Cup final and, Aubameyang just chopped past him to score the winner pretty easily. He looked really uncomfortable on the ball. He played there against Man United this season. We kept a clean sheet, as a left centre-back and looked a little bit uncomfortable on the ball. So, yeah, I'm keen to see what you guys think of Zach. I mean, if Thiago's out for 2-3 weeks, Christensen goes in. I mean, how do you actually feel about that? I mean, especially because Zuma might be out for a while. We didn't actually know the results of his scan on his injury.
Yeah, I actually was almost dreading Christensen's introduction to the game because I was so impressed with Thiago over that half an hour or so. I mean, we saw the way that he strikes the ball is so casual. It's almost like he's not trying, and yet he sweeps it into the path of Alonso. He doesn't even need to break stride, and then the way he's able to drop a shoulder and just move Son 10 yards off him just from a little subtle movement. I mean, he's a joy to watch. But Christensen coming in, we know he's a little bit timid in set pieces, and I think it was inevitable that he was going to come under a little bit of pressure. I mean, it wasn't his fault for the Vinicius chance. I think James was sort of pinned by a couple of men at the back post, but I actually thought it shifted the dynamic of the setup, and I'd be interested to hear what you both think about this, because obviously I agree with you, Grant, that Christensen has to play as the pivot of that three. But actually, now that he is going to play presumably a couple of games now with Thiago out, I think this is a real opportunity for him, because he not only he won't be able to replicate what Thiago brings exactly from a calmness, from a structural perspective, the way he can organise. But I actually thought that he added something a little bit more in possession, the way he stepped out, and you saw Kovacic drop in a little bit, or Jorginho. And I just think that once he gets his confidence back up a little bit, you will see another dynamic in possession, the way that he's able to step out. I don't know what you think, Will, but it certainly appeared to me that that was an encouraging sign, the way he came in a big game and wasn't afraid to play his natural game. I thought that was a good sign. Likewise, the character in the squad throughout is kind of impressing me a little bit in these early days. Jorginho grabbing the penalty, and kind of like you said, he shifted his technique. He's been the little hop and step, which I think it shows a lot of balls. I think coming into this, he was 3 of 7. So had he missed that, to miss 50% of your penalties over an 8-penalty sample size, I think that would be alarming. And to be on top for such a long period of time and to have not taken that opportunity, I think it would have really provided a setback. So yeah, I just wondered what you thought of, obviously, Christensen, Will, but in a broader sense, the way that the character of his team is going to be important with a lot of interchangeable pieces.
Yeah, on penalties, I mean, I was fearing the worst because he's missed a lot this season. I wouldn't have him on penalties because he's missed too many. I'd let Mason Mount take them, personally. I know Tess, I come across like the biggest Mason Mount fanboy ever, but I mean...
Did he miss the one against Spurs, was it? He always strikes them clean, but I just wonder...
I think he missed one, yeah, but I mean, I've seen him...
Against Spurs, yeah.
He took one in the... Did he take one in the Super Cup against Liverpool, and it was like top corner? I don't know. I mean, Jorginho's missed too many for me.
I think Mount has a spot, and it's just like... if you look at the goal, top corner to the left, and he just basically goes there. And I think Spurs just knew he was going there in the cup game, and he was saved, right? So I think he's just got a place he goes, and that's it. So if people watched him, they're going to know why he takes them.
I mean, back to Christensen. I mean, I think he's fine there. Obviously, when he came on, it was the Conte back three of the second season when Rudiger was signed and Cahill kind of sort of started to lose his place. Luiz lost his place and Christensen came in. So that back three knows how to play with each other. It's Christensen's best role. He's fine there. I mean, he's just not Thiago Silva. I just think Thiago Silva and Mason Mount have been our two best players this season. I don't really think it's close. Anyone else is really close. I've just been shocked at how good he is. And in the middle of a back three, like I said to Grant, I think I said to both of you on the WhatsApp group, like, you know, he can play. He reminds me of, you know, when you play like six aside and there's always like there's one bloke who's about 50 and you turn up and you're like, oh God, let's get at him. But he's been playing six aside for so long that he literally reads everything everyone does. He's so at ease. He's kind of mastered that game. That's what Thiago Silva's like, but obviously in a professional football context. Like he's just so good. And it's such a shame. Just hopefully he's not out for too long. But I think you do have kind of a decent backup there to play in the middle. In terms of the two sort of side centre backs, I mean, I think it's clearly going to be Rudiger and Aspi. I think Reece James' best position is probably in that right centre-back role. He played there a lot for the youth team. Played there for England the other day, I believe, as well. I think it's a great role for him. It's better than wing-back. And so we're fine there. And I think it's just that left centre-back spot, like sort of Grant alluded to. We don't really have a lot of options there. I don't think Rudiger's too comfortable in the sides. I think he's probably better as more of a, you know, destroyer-type middle centre-back if you are kind of back to the walls. You want someone right in the middle of the box to sort of, you know, block things, get head things clear, things like that. I think, to be honest, I've said this to you guys last week, I think Chilwell could do a job there, especially in certain games where we're really dominating, trying to break teams down. I think it could be quite a good role for Chilwell, because I think in a similar way to Reece James, he's a similar kind of profile to most really good modern fullbacks in that they can kind of do everything. And he's good in the air. He's got good awareness at the back post. He's super comfortable on the ball, obviously, being, you know, being a fullback and being used to marauding forward. So, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily like to see him and Reece James start either side of, say, Christensen. I think that might be a bit much. I think you want one that can join in and offer something in the final third, like Aspi is at the moment, with Rudiger sort of staying. But I think if you had, say, Aspi, Christensen or Zouma in the middle, and then Chilwell in say a home game, and Aspi sat more and Chilwell joined in more, I think that could work. I think it's an option. So I don't think we're light in those back three positions, but it does certainly seem like Zouma is going to be the biggest loser. But it's a shame, because I mean he's really got to admire what he's done with his career in terms of getting that really bad injury, going away, getting his head down, doing so well in the loan spells, coming back and then sort of cementing his place in the team. And then, you know, he looks like the biggest loser out of all of the centre halves. But yes, yeah, it's a shame. And I think he's obviously a bit of a cult hero, but it looks to me like the writing might be in the wall for Zouma now. And it might be one that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if his agent is sort of, you know, looking at places for him to sort of go in the summer.
Yeah, I just want to say on Spurs, I mean, you know, when we played them in that first match, I remember you saying, well, that Kane is so important. He's basically doing the job of Abraham and Ziyech together. And it really is true. I mean, it's really difficult to judge Christensen's performance when he's not playing against Kane. And in fact, this team in general, because if Spurs had been playing in a pretty compact 4-4-2 with Son and Kane, we would have actually got a better indication of how this team can actually defend. And this has been a nice favourable fixture list, because Wolves were really, really poor form coming to Stamford Bridge. Obviously, Burnley were getting good results, but their record against the top six, the big six, is awful. And Spurs were just there for the taking tonight. I mean, it's been the Brighton game, they were in absolute shambles. And they're coming into a game today with Vinicius up front. And, you know, it was just the perfect time to play them. You know, on the flank, obviously, if Reguilón had been fit, we would have definitely seen how that wing back position works. It's obviously, Hudson-Odoi didn't end up playing there, but I think that was the concern, that if Reguilón had been fit against Hudson-Odoi, we'd see how he actually defends in this position, because, you know, Moses obviously played this role, but he was really strong defensively, quite one dimensional on the ball, you know, sort of running in straight lines, where Hudson-Odoi is so creative and much more skillful. But it has been a nice favourable fixture list, and Sheffield United are next. Yeah, then much improved form, but it's a really good way to involve the whole squad, rotate, get some results, get confidence up. And I mean, I said that sort of in the regret sort of in the Lampard sacking was that there was such a nice fixture list ahead. And the club probably did look at it and say, well, we're not sure if we're going to actually win these games with our current form and confidence. So it's a perfect time to change and give a new manager this sort of chance to have a new manager balance by having good games.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's obviously the honeymoon phase, isn't it, for Tuchel? And it's certainly it felt like it was maybe geared towards a lost cause in the league and to maybe get things right ahead of Atletico. This is a club that has never shirked an opportunity to dare to be great in Europe. I think it's proven to be a successful gamble, obviously, most notably in winning it all. So in terms of the team for Sheffield United, I mean, I think it is time to settle down a little bit and maybe only swap out one or two. Is there anybody that stands out for you, Will, that will come straight in? I mean, I think Kante can maybe wait one more. Certainly seemed a little rusty when he came on tonight. Obviously, Christensen will have to start. And I think it's more about whether Pulisic could come in from the start. I think it might make sense if you move Reece James back out onto the bench and then play Hudson-Odoi as the wing back. I mean, maybe look to play Mount, Pulisic. And I mean, I'd like to see Tammy maybe given another go, but I think he'll probably persist with Werner and try and get his confidence up. But yeah, what do you think?
I don't think there'll be a lot of not huge rotation, probably three or four. And then I think Barnsley will be obviously an opportunity to play, complete second string, I suppose. You could play Chilwell against Sheffield United, and then you could even give Emerson a game against Barnsley just to sort of keep everyone happy. And obviously Chilwell will be coming in with a real point to prove. Well, to be honest, I mean, you guys know how much I love Alonso, and he's come back in and been fantastic, unsurprisingly, in that role. That's his role. I'd like to see Chilwell come in, I think, with a point to prove against Sheffield United. Beyond that, yeah, I think, you might be tempted to bring Callum in back at wing back. Although, they're quite a big team. So, you might want to get some extra bodies that are good in the air with Reece James there, play Callum inside again. But that'll be interesting. Yeah. Who plays right wing back? Who plays kind of that right split striker role? But yeah, I think it'll be Mount. I think you're right. I think it'll be Mount, Pulisic and Werner. I think he'll persist with Werner against Sheffield United. And then probably bring Tammy in along with a load of other players against Barnsley. Probably Havertz will probably come in against Barnsley. And a load of other players. Kante will probably get a start. Maybe Kante and Gilmore. So, I think he'll save most of the rotation for Barnsley and look to sort of continue the momentum and not take off foot off the gas too much against Sheffield United. Although I would like to see Tammy start that game, but I don't think he will.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point with Chilwell. I think you've kind of won me around there a little bit. I think you're right. I'd keep the back four, which ended the game, and then move Alonso out for Chilwell, Kovacic, Jorginho, Hudson-Odoi, Mount, Pulisic and Werner. That would be my 11. Care to disagree, Grant?
I do think the Barnsley game represents a chance to rotate quite heavily. And I think Will's definitely right that Emerson will probably play that match. If he doesn't play that match, then you have a sort of player in the squad that's quite disgruntled, because he would have been delighted sort of how he'd worked his way back into the second choice in the pecking order and was getting a fair amount of games. So I expect that he'll play the Barnsley game, and then Chilwell will play this weekend. Obviously, there's just the very fact that we're playing Thursday and Sunday and the short turnaround time. So I think possibly someone like Azpilicueta could possibly be someone you could take out, maybe with James playing as the right centre-back and Hudson-Odoi as the wing back there. I think I'd be okay with Kante playing again as a substitute, and then maybe, getting a game against Barnsley. I think you'll see Ziyech play, because obviously he's had two games now with no minutes, one completely rested and today a new sub, just because we needed that intensity. So I think he suits that game. So maybe he comes in and Mount goes out. I don't think Mount would necessarily be untouchable, even though we see how much he brings to the team. I think Tuchel will rotate, because he just has too many numbers there to keep playing. Having one guy as a certain starter and then only having two spots you can rotate makes it really difficult. I think that's the way you'll go about it. I mean, Sheffield United are in good form. Obviously, they beat Bristol Rovers in the FA Cup, and that sort of has kind of turned their season around. They beaten Newcastle, beaten Man United, beaten West Brom in the league in their last five. So they might still go down. I mean, they're like 10, 11 points off safety, but they are fighting hard. So that's going to be a really difficult match. I do like the fact that we have a back three back three system that's quite confident and something we've been working on, because I do think matching up to Sheffield United would have been the best way to go. And the fact that we don't have to actually change from a back four for one-off game probably does make it quite
quite useful that we have that, you know, set to go as it is. So I think there might be rotation just because of the fact that it's a quick turnaround time, and we have such a big squad that even if we make a few changes for this game, there's still so many players that need to play against Barnsley that everyone can get a game. You know, there's just so many games to go around. You can bring Abraham in this weekend, and then Giroud and Emerson play against Barnsley. Gilmore surely plays that game because he hasn't even made the squad yet under Tuchel, and he's been saying he's very, very close to being selected, but he's still picking sort of two left backs on the bench just to keep everyone happy of the senior players. So, yeah, I would say James in for SP and Abraham in the attack, and then possibly Ziyech behind Abraham, and then probably Werner partnering Abraham and Pulisic again being a sub.
It's interesting you brought up Ziyech. We haven't really spoken about him. I'm going to be interested to see what his how much he's involved, because the kind of inkling I get is that Tuchel wants to play a very dynamic front three. I think that's why you've seen it evolve into split strikers, because you can get two more kind of dynamic players that can run on the last line, you know, make runs in behind, get in between the fullbacks and the centre halves. And I think he's the two players that he's sort of played there in that role so far have been Mount, obviously, and then I think Havertz replaced him in that 10 role late on against Burnley. And that's all, I think that's where Havertz has sort of said he thinks his best role is 10. So it'll be interesting to see if we do go more with like this split strikers and the 10, where Ziyech fits into that. Obviously, naturally, you would think it would be the 10, but then there's obviously going to be a great deal of emphasis on trying to get the best out of Havertz and involve Havertz a lot. And I just wonder how much Ziyech kind of suits what Tuchel wants to do. If we've got Mason Mount playing as well as he's going to play, if there's a lot of emphasis on Havertz being given a lot of chances, where he fits in and where he fits into sort of the high pressing style. And yeah, I don't know, because as good as he can be, Ziyech, and I think we all sort of said at the start of the season, we've kind of signed him for games like Sheffield United at home to break teams down. But recently, and I don't think he's fully fit, he's had a lot of injuries, so I think it's probably harsh to judge him too much. But he is looking a lot, he is looking very one-dimensional compared to, say, a Mason Mount. And I think when you consider the potential of Havertz, who I think I still have a big believer in him, I think he can do everything once he adjusts to the physical side of things and the pace of things. I do wonder long-term or even medium-term where Ziyech fits into to Tuchel's plans, to be honest. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, I just think the way that Mount's played in the last game and a half as a lone 10 with two split strikers, there's so much onus for that 10 to actually arrive into the box. And we saw Mount do that a lot of times today, because obviously the split strikers are going to pull centre-backs out and there's a lot of space for someone to arrive and to score goals there. And I think that's something Mount really has to work on, because he had a lot of decent opportunities tonight to get shots away, even one of his left foot where he tried the outside of his right foot instead. And Ziyech is not going to arrive in those positions. Havertz would be able to. So it's maybe when Ziyech plays that he plays as one of two 10s and we have a genuine striker. But the freedom that that 10 has to just move around the pitch and find space between the lines, I mean, Ziyech would love that role. That's kind of his dream position. I mean, if you want to be a 10 and then have two strikers to service, it's like the, you know, the old like Riquelme position, you know, you can just like proper, you know, what's the word, trequartista or whatever. You just stay between the lines, get the ball and play through balls. He would love it. Yeah. Whether he's good at it, I don't know. Whether he'd be good at it, I don't know.
It's true. I think he'll do it in a different way. He'll link everything nicely. He'll look to combine and he'll have shots from the edge of the box, try and thread people through. I just think medium to long term, there's probably going to only be, if we do stick with this system, there's probably going to only be room for two of those three as the 10. And it's not, and Havertz isn't going to go. Mount's not going to go. It'll just be interesting to see what happens. But yeah, I take your point. He could, against lesser opposition as well, I think he could still be a very useful player this season.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I just think like it might work better with him actually behind two genuine strikers, like say Werner and Abraham, where they are the ones making runs into scoring positions, as opposed to split strikers who kind of, you know, or like two split strikers where you have Pulisic and Werner or something, who are both away from the middle and you actually, you do need someone to sort of go into that space.
And obviously Mount's not been looked at as a deeper midfielder at all. So yeah, there's a lot of players there. I mean, also we have no idea how long Havertz is out for. He's going for a scan, so it's probably relatively, you know, possibly serious. So if that's a few weeks, like it just makes things easier to keep people involved. But if everyone stays fit, it's really hard. And I mean, obviously Tuchel's played a lot of youngsters in the past, but often like when his team just had like crazy injury crises, you know, and he's like had to call on the academy. So that might be a feature of him. Like, you know, maybe players just break down the whatever for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating to see how this all unfolds. I think tonight is a little glimpse as to perhaps how Tuchel will set up away in that Champions League game against Atleti. I think he's still going to want to be on the front foot, but I think it's nice to look at this as a bit more of a solid setup with Reece coming in as a right wing back. So, yeah, all very promising. And like you said, there's a lot of games to kind of see the upside of Tuchel's work on the training ground with these teams, which will see possession. So, yeah, I think it's a really nice run up to gain a lot of momentum. You obviously see the table right now. You have Liverpool. Well, let's not even look that far. West Ham, 2 points clear of Chelsea in fifth. Liverpool in that coveted fourth spot, 4 points clear. And then Leicester, all haven't played the same games. Leicester are 6 points clear in third. So just to round things off, I thought I'd ask all of you, do you think Chelsea top four now after this little surge of form? I'll say yes. I think I'm pretty confident despite what Brendan Rodgers has learned from the collapse last season. I don't expect Chelsea to finish above Liverpool, but I think they can reel in Leicester. So yeah, I'd say top four.
It's difficult. We've just got to get our heads down, and these next two league games, just iron them out, win both those games. And I think there's a very good chance we'll be in a good position, because I off the top of my head, I know that, well, Liverpool have obviously got City this weekend, and then I think the Leicester play Liverpool or Tottenham or someone in the next couple of weeks. So there's a good chance this could switch around in our favour in the next two games, the next two match days. And then we've got Atletico. And then we've got some real tough games. So we've just got to get our heads down and put ourselves in a good position in the next two. I've gone a real roundabout way of answering this. I'm gonna say yes. And I don't know. I've got a feeling that Liverpool might be the team to target. But that's a whole other kind of debate and thing to go into. But I think Leicester look pretty robust this season. I think their squad's actually quite deep in certain areas, and I think they've done quite well the last couple of weeks without Vardy. They've gotten by against Fulham. I know it's only Fulham, but I think Leicester will have learnt from last season, and I think they look like a better team this year. So I think maybe Liverpool might be the ones that we squeeze out.
I think you could be right, not to look too far ahead of ourselves, but we really do need to capitalise on these next couple of games, Sheffield United away, Newcastle at home, Southampton away, because once the Champions League kicks in, the league games really do take a spike in terms of difficulty. You have Man United at home, Everton at home, Leeds away, Liverpool away. So really, Chelsea need to keep this early momentum under Tuchel going right over into that first leg of the last 16. And yeah, we've got to throw it to you, Grant, to round off your early expectations for the next few months and the end of the season.
I'm not sure. I think Leicester are a lot more robust this season than they were last season. They were really naive last season. I mean, they lost 3-0 at home to Spurs with something like 3-0 away at Spurs, I think, with something like 71% possession. And they were just, Mourinho just did a job on them. And I think Rodgers has become a lot more pragmatic this season. He's played quite defensively in some games. He's played a back five. He's played a back four. He's very savvy with his tactics. And even against us, we had a lot of the ball in that match, and we just didn't create a great deal. So I think they're a lot more defensively solid this season. They've got depth on the bench. You know, Soyuncu's barely even played this season. Pereira hasn't played. They've been in without Ndidi for a lot of games. And they've done okay without Vardy in the last couple. Or they've had reasonable results without him. So
I don't think they're going to collapse, but I think they will probably still finish below us just because the gap is small and we, you know, we still have to play them. And I think it's true. If we can just get 6 points in the next two matches and see where things lie after that, then we'll have a better idea. They should games we should win, Sheffield United and Newcastle. I mean, this is a really favourable run of five matches. So, yeah, I think we probably will sneak into the top four, maybe ahead of Leicester. The thing about Liverpool as well with them, their problems don't seem to be easing. They seem to be getting worse. Like every game, there's another injury. There's more and more injuries coming, and all of them have a domino effect on the whole system. You know, they're defending so deep now because they've had Phillips playing at the back, their midfield can't press properly. They just seem to have issues all over the place. And it's not impossible that they just get, you know, have a lot more of these defeats. I don't think it's guaranteed they're just going to turn it around and just put together a long run of results.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think it's guaranteed.
I think they'll lose this weekend, and then we're four off them now. So that would be 1 point if we win our game. Is that correct? So I mean, I think, and I've seen this when I was analyst at Football Radar, and I did Dortmund's team. And they just burnt out. It's so taxing on the players. And I think more than physical exhaustion, I mean, Klopp sort of talked about it last night after the game. I think it's just a mental exhaustion. His style, the style of play that his teams, that he implements, it's just so mentally exhausting as well as physically. And I think they just look a bit broken. And I think sometimes, I think they sort of kidded everyone the other day with that performance at West Ham because it was, you know, a couple of moments of brilliance. But yeah, like you say, I can see more injuries on the horizon. The fact that they've had to play Henderson and Fabinho, probably their two starting midfielders at the back. It's not only the centre halves out, but it's compounded by the fact that they're losing two of their best midfielders. So I don't know. I could see it. I could see them kind of almost falling apart a bit. And that would be fantastic, obviously.
But, it seems like as well, a side like them, of probably all the sides in the league, they're the most reliant on their home crowd. And I mean, the longer it goes on without supporters, it's the more it seems to affect them. Obviously, it's really at Anfield, they just can't win at the moment or even score. So and on the road, it's slightly more open games. They're pretty much fine. They're not in a crisis on the road, but at home they're really struggling. So teams like City and stuff, you know, who don't necessarily have that same sort of intimidating atmosphere at home that they call upon to sort of like motivate their style of play, to bring that adrenaline, they're fine. You know, they just keep the ball and conserve energy. So I mean, Liverpool, we can't say they're going to suddenly turn around when they get a couple of new signings at the back, even because they've kind of been like likened to Lovren and St. Kluivert, you know, like in their style of play. They're not going to necessarily be transcendent saviours in defence.
Yeah, I think that they'll be very fortunate if one of these hit the ground running, Davies and Kabak, because naturally, obviously, it will help a lot to have Henderson back in the midfield with Fabinho. But I just think that what they're lacking at the moment is that they don't have enough ball carriers. And I think, obviously, Mane, when he's on it, I think he showed against West Ham, he just brings a completely different dynamic. But without that movement in front of the ball, and certainly an ability to pick the ball up and carry it 20 yards, beating a couple of men, it really does sort of place a massive burden on someone like Thiago. And I think that's why he's not quite been the cherry on top that everybody thought he would be. I think it's exciting times to see whether they can cope with this. Obviously, another option, which I don't think either of you mentioned, is that some point he might think that he wants to prioritise the Champions League, because let's not be naive. I think Jurgen Klopp, while he owes Liverpool a lot and he's obviously grateful for what they've provided him, I think he knows that this is not a team which has many more years to go under his tutelage. I think he could obviously stay there for as long as he wants. He could rebuild. But I think he'll want to maximise their chances of winning like one of the two big trophies. And if he thinks the title's gone, I could certainly see him placing his eggs in one basket and going for that Champions League, because there might be one more big job for him after Liverpool that he fancies, or, I mean, who knows, but he might fancy going to Spain with Real Madrid, who knows, but I think he'll know that this team is perhaps one more season away from being blown up. I think had there not been a pandemic last summer, I think he would have sold on Salah or Mane, one of the two, and tried to recycle some of the funds into sort of freshening the group up. So if they're only sort of, as you say, seven games away from that in Europe, I think he might switch focus. So yeah, interesting times. Yeah.
I think that just Champions League, I don't know. I mean, it depends if Van Dijk can come back in towards the end of the season, they can make a run for it. But I think like all of Liverpool's kind of Champions League runs in the sort of modern era have all been so helped, you know, so influenced by the crowd. I think it's something you can't quite explain. Anfield, when those big Champions League games, they do just quite suck the ball into the net. You know, it's a huge factor as to you know, the most recent Champions League trophy they won, and then also, you know, the one in Istanbul. I was up there for that game, and it was crazy, the atmosphere. So and I just think it's the fact that they've got, you know, Henderson, the Thiago playing in that midfield is just such a different profile to what all their success has been built on. With that Wijnaldum, Henderson and Fabinho midfield is just an absolute nightmare to play against. Thiago's kind of, you know, opposite player to them in a lot of ways. And, you know, Nat Phillips playing at the back. I mean, I watched him play when he was playing for their 23s against Bolton. And he was poor in that. I honestly, I think he's a championship level centre back. So I think if he has to keep playing minutes, they are going to drop points, you know. I do think they're our best way in personally at the moment, but things can change quickly, you know.
I mean, everybody talks about the finish, which was lucky, the combination of the deflection off Trossard to Azarte. But really, the problem was that, yeah, you're right, Nat Phillips just looked like he couldn't cope with just a simple knockback across goal. So I think you're right. I think that will be an area that is targeted. I mean, I doubt he plays much more than one more game. I think certainly that's the reason they brought in two, because obviously Matip out for the season, he's going to want at least one of them to hit the ground running. And it might be Davies. It might be someone from the Championship who he's fit. He's used to maybe somewhat similar style of play, having played in England. So, I mean, it's a big ask though, as you say. So
it's when do we play them? Do you know when we play them?
Liverpool,
it's the end of March.
Yeah.
20th of March.
20th of March, okay.
It's after the second leg against Atleti, 3 days after. So Atleti at home, and then 3 days later, Liverpool away.
Poh, that's not yeah. nice.
And we've got Leeds away before that.
Yeah.
The schedule's crazy. I mean, Atletico is on the 23rd of Feb, so that's how much time we have to get Thiago Silva fit. Because, I really like Zuma in the middle of a back three. I think defensively he's really strong there. He doesn't have to go out in the channels. He just defends the box and he's so good in the air. But, you know, you really want Thiago Silva to play against Atletico with, you know, João Felix and, you know, Suarez and stuff. You need that sort of his canny ability and experience, especially with how good he was in the Champions League last season. So let's hope these 3 weeks can get him fit, or two weeks really can get over this thigh injury.
Definitely. Well, I think that's pretty comprehensive. I'm quite excited for another episode next week, just to see how this evolves and develops. I think it's promising signs. Anything else to add, chaps? I think that's pretty much sums it up.
No, I think that's pretty much sorted. We've got through a lot tonight.
Yeah, no, good stuff. Really enjoyed that.
I think it's what time is it in South Africa, Grant? It must be very late.
It's 1 a.m.
Oh, we better get off then.
I'll let you crack on. But no, I appreciate you both jumping on after the game, and onwards and upwards. We'll be back next week. Obviously, if you like the show, we'd really appreciate a 5-star review on iTunes to spread the word to Chelsea fans. And as I said, we'll be back next week for another episode of Palpable Discord.